Where do we start this? And the answer doesn't matter. We're having a good time. Right.
He couldn't wait to get in here.
You need sales balls to make sales calls. I'm tweeting that puppy. Okay. Hello, everybody.
We're on.
And welcome to Motivation Monday.
Woo!
Which is part of the Sell or Die Mega Podcast. It's all over the world and New Jersey.
Now with almost 2 million downloads.
Ooh. And we are doing the best we possibly can to bring you information you can take out into the street and turn into money 1 minute after you hear it. And today's not going to be any exception because we have with us today the great wife.
Oh, hey, I'm Jen Gluckow, founder and author of Sales in a New York Minute. And we also have a very special guest.
Yeah. He's not here right now.
No.
But when he gets here.
You can't see him. You can't see him.
We have his brother.
We have the one, the only Joe Soto here. You guys are going to love him.
You know him. You love him. You've heard him for years, and now you can see him live. And
well, they may not actually know him. Jeffrey, how did you meet Joe? Like, give us some background.
Okay. I'm in this men's room. And
oh my God. Okay.
You went through my mentor programs.
Yeah.
Years ago, Mensa. I mentored Jeffrey.
Yeah, it was a Mensa, yeah. And I mistook it for men's room, and the rest is history.
mistook it for men's room.
So
I would love to tell the story, actually.
Yeah, go.
Okay, go. Yeah,
story?
Yeah.
Please.
So in 2010, I started my marketing agency. So Ty Lopez likes to say that I'm an OG of social media agencies. But in 2000, ooh, going into 2011, we saw that Jeffrey was holding a social media for sales pros seminar with people like Lewis Howes and Sally Hogshead and a lot of great speakers there. But mm-hmm. Showing people how to use social media and social strategies to get clients and grow your business. And we wanted to be a part of that. So we actually reached out and decided to sponsor that event. Mm-hmm. Jeffrey took a lot of our money, happily.
Not a lot of money.
Happily took a lot of our money.
Yeah.
Which turned into millions of dollars for us over the years.
Oh, wow. That's
and,
cool.
And what I mean by that is the relationship with Jeffrey, with the people that he introduced us to there, and really how we leverage that on an ongoing basis, which is something I share with people that go through my trainings, is that go out there and, you know, and put yourself out there and take those risks, spend the money on things like sponsorship to put yourself in front of the right type of prospects and clients. And that's how I met Jeffrey. But then I got a chance to learn, and I had been studying Jeffrey for years prior to this, just so everyone understands. I have, you know, several editions of the Sales Bible. I think I bought the first one. Ooh. It was gold and white, right?
Right. That, yeah.
Wow.
The old one. And that
save
was,
it to when I'm dead, then go on eBay.
That's what I'm doing. I'm hoping the value goes up.
Okay, cool. It'll go from 20 to 21 easily.
That's how I got introduced. And then I had a chance to kind of go on the road with him and share our social media strategies for growing businesses while we did that.
Here's the deal. Joe was so good at that social media seminar that I invited him to come to all of my public seminars and do an after the show. Mm-hmm. And people stayed for his business social media prowess. And it was just remarkable. People loved the message. And I've never endorsed anybody for anything. No one has ever appeared on any one of my public events other than Soto. And so there must be some kind of depth, but there must be some kind of depth to that message, or I wouldn't have asked him and then asked him again. I mean, you must have done 10 or 15 of them.
A lot of them, yeah.
And
over the course of like a year and a half.
Yeah.
I love that. Okay, you guys, make sure you say hey if you're here. Yeah. Mark's here. What's up, Mark? The great Ken Walls is here.
Oh, wow.
Hey, Mr. Walls. 75 Hard. What's going on?
Yeah.
All right, listen to this. So, Joe, you don't know this, I don't think, but Jeffrey was telling me before you got here that I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, but I'm going to say it anyway.
Joe is a virgin.
So, no. Oh. So, I think he has like 9 kids, mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure he's not.
Yeah, just exactly. Yeah. He knows what to do.
But
yeah.
Anyway, so that's besides the point. Jeffrey told me in private that Joe is one of the only people he has ever done business with who not only lives up to his potential and his promises, but goes above and beyond.
Every time.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Appreciate that.
And so if you're thinking about it, you might want to think about at least giving Joe a look. But here's the deal.
Give him a look.
It's Motivation Monday. Listen, it's Motivation Monday, and everyone who's on this show is alive.
That's right.
Everyone who's listening.
That's reason enough to be happy. You're all alive.
That is correct. But we're alive.
All right. But now here's the deal. Oh.
Remember the bypass ring?
Yeah.
Only one the wife? Other than you, only one person has it.
Ooh, so say hello.
Say hey.
No.
Come on, say hey. Come on. Okay, so.
Here's the deal. He's blushing. I love it.
Are you living or are you living up to your potential? And most people, at the end of a day, are just living.
Yeah.
They go home, they have a beer, they have a drink, they have a bottle of wine, and they watch Netflix like a fucking fool.
And it's the same routine every single day.
Yeah, that's it. It's
no, it's Thursday. No. We have to watch whatever is. And I've never understood what that is.
Survivor.
Huh? Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know that. But I used to be, on Saturdays, I would watch All in the Family, but that was 40 years ago.
Right. Well, there's nothing
else.
So
was that when you were just living?
When
right,
TV
that's
was
when
invented.
I was just living.
Color TV had just come out.
Hey.
Right.
That was a funny show.
Hey, it was a great show.
It was, yeah.
Yeah. So the challenge for you is what are you doing? Didn't your high school, like my high school guidance counselor, Mrs. Robbins, rest her soul, would bring my parents in and say, Jeffrey's a very smart boy, not living up to his potential.
Ooh.
His grades don't show how smart he really is because he scores high on this test, but when it's in geometry, he gets a shit grade. It's only because I didn't care. It's school's out. I'm playing basketball. I'm playing baseball.
Yeah.
I'm going out with my friends. I'm riding my bike. I'm whatever. Way more important than reading a book.
I think it's one thing not to care when you're like in high school because most kids don't care.
Yeah, well, but when I got to college, then I really didn't care.
It's time to like be productive in life and make a difference in this world, that's when you have to stop just living and going through the motions, and it becomes this like hamster wheel of routine on repeat and actually consider your potential.
But are you going after what you want? So when I was going to college, I was going like, I didn't want to go. But when I started a business, oh, baby, that's when I wanted to go.
Yeah.
Because I had built the whole factory, delivered all the shit, bought all the shit, wholesale, you know, whatever I could do, I did.
Yeah.
So, Joe, you coach a lot of entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
How do you help them live up to their potential?
Well, I help them figure out why they're doing what they're doing. So you start
so
off
what's
with
their why.
Do they love what they do before they started? Do they think they love what they do, or is some of it just doing it for the money?
It's a great question. They love the dream of what they're going to do, and they don't realize the work of what it's going to take to get there. So they have to learn how to fall in love with the process, not just the end.
So they quit their 40-hour-a-week job to take an 80-hour-a-week job.
Correct, and don't realize that it was ever going to be harder working for themselves. But there's a reason why, you know, less than I think it's like 6% earn six figures in America when it's so readily available to us. And it's because they're stuck watching Survivor or The Bachelorette or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
And okay, so do you think they're doing things that don't equate to living up to their potential? So it's not just like watching TV, but like I think sometimes entrepreneurs and salespeople get really caught up in the busy work. Like the things that they can check off their to-do list, like maybe moving boxes or sending proposals or like the admin side versus actually doing the relationship building and the things that seem harder.
Yeah, I think for a lot of entrepreneurs that I coach and work with, they, you know, if they understand why they're doing it, okay, then it's a matter of, okay, what is going to be revenue generating activities versus stuff that you're doing to waste time because you're fearful of the stuff that can generate revenues.
Right. That's exactly
so we have
it
to work.
They don't consider themselves salespeople.
Right.
They think they're an entrepreneur rather than a salesperson.
But that's exactly.
And there is
fear
no difference.
Is it. Like they're scared of doing the sales part of it. And so they're doing all these other things that keeps them busy and they feel like they're being productive.
Yeah.
But it's not that maybe 5 or 10% of.
So one of the ways you help them overcome that is you help them create a scenario for themselves where they have no other options. So for me, I have a lot of children. We've had 10 children. And, you know, at the time that I started my company back in 2010, we had I don't know at the time back then, like six children.
Yeah,
I think something like that.
Only six.
But there was no other option, right?
But to make a lot of money,
right? So there was a strong why with the family, but I didn't give them myself an option. There's a degree of certainty that you have when you're starting the business, and so my certainty was around. I knew we're going to have the cash flow is king, right? You have to have cash flow to support your business. And
oh, I thought you were going to say to support six kids, but
to support your business and six kids, it's both. So I had the strong why. And I gave myself no other option. I didn't have a plan B. I hate plan Bs. Mm. I hate plan Bs and Cs because when people are already doing that, they're already planning on a potential of a failure. When you give yourself no options, like I am going to succeed because this is the activity I know it's going to take to succeed. And I just got to figure out my numbers. Huh. I got to figure out what that formula is. Everybody has a formula or has a formula for success inside of a sales process and based on sales activity for them.
They just don't always work
long enough or hard enough to figure out what that
is. I will bet you that Joe worked his formula backwards like everyone should work their formula backwards. Mm-hmm. Like I need $350,000 this year, which means I need 30 grand a month,
which
means I need to make 15 calls, which means I need to make
this many touches.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So when you work it backwards, you win. If you don't work it backwards, you're not going to win.
That's great advice.
Hey, Glenn, what's up? Ken, thank you for sharing. You guys, share this out with your people. This is going to help them.
Glenn Caldwell calls himself top fan. I love that.
No, no, no. Facebook calls him a top fan.
Oh.
Yeah, Facebook does that. Oh. Okay, so I want to touch on that plan B part. Mm. I just posted something on Instagram about how Charlie needed a surgery and it was $3,000. And like, it's not like every day you walk into the vet and they're like, hey, unexpected $3,000 expense.
Right.
And I talked all about it on my post.
Yeah.
And a couple people in the comments were like, oh, that's really great that you're coming up with a plan B, or yeah, you always need a plan B. And I'm like, to say this nicely to those people, you sort of missed the point of my post.
Yeah.
I didn't have a plan B. I don't want a plan
B. The dog's going to get operated on and get better.
Yeah. My plan was, when she said you now have this new expense, was, okay, great, I'll go make more sales.
That's right.
Okay, I'll go make more money.
I'll go figure out
another offer. I'll go manifest more money into existence by helping more people.
Right.
But there was no like plan B.
It wasn't like a backup plan.
Next time she might need a surgery, let me start putting away $100 a month. No, there was none of that.
Right.
It was, I now have a bigger why to create more impact before the end of the year.
Go to YouTube.
Also shows that your problem solving process wasn't a, what do I do? Shit, I'm screwed. Or, oh my gosh, I'm in bad shape now. It was, okay, I have to do something to make it happen to make sure that doesn't, affect any type of budget or anything else. So, and everybody, that's a mindset thing everybody can learn from. I think it's really valuable that when you're faced with adversity, right? Resilience is not even just about bouncing back up. It's how do I keep moving forward despite that adversity? And without it being an option, it wasn't an option for you to take care of the dog.
Right.
Put the dog down.
Right. No.
No way. So same thing with the business. You should never weigh like anything less than what your goal is for the business and the activity that it takes to get there. And if that means turning off, for me, it was turning off Netflix. And we didn't have Netflix in 2010, I don't think.
No.
Yeah.
But turning off the TV.
Hardly had an iPhone.
And other than making sure I was scheduling family time, the rest of the time it was, I need to get the activity to support the business and my family.
So if you want to know what Plan B really is, go to YouTube and check out Monty Python, How to Put Your Budgie Down. And they give you two answers. You can either flush them down the Louvre, because nobody wants it. They're going away for 2 weeks. No one wants to come home to a dead parrot. So you can either flush it down the toilet, or you can hit them with the book just above the beak.
Ah.
And
that'll do it.
Yeah, but
and that'll do it.
It shows you the lunacy of Plan B. You either make a plan to do what you're going to do and execute the plan, and God forbid something happens in the middle of flood or something like that, you can come back and figure it out on the fly, but don't go in with a back door. Going with no back. Joe has no back door.
And
I have no back door. I'm either in or I'm fucking dead.
And Joe, you're not the first person on our podcast to say, like, I had no choice. This was my being successful and creating this kind of wealth and success and this lifestyle was my only choice.
But it also, let's turn the attention onto the customer or the people that you're serving, because living up to the potential. to me, and also having no option and overcome this adversity and having the mindset you're talking about, also to me hinges on your focus on your obligation to serve the customer. Mm-hmm. So for example, in my business, I framed my own, when I had fear, I framed what I was doing as, I am obligated to help businesses that I've identified that I can help. Because imagine a business, and I've seen this, by the way, where you know you can help a business, whatever your product or services are, whatever your company offers, and you know it can genuinely help the end consumer, you wouldn't be selling or offering it. And you make a prospect list that you don't go after because you're on Netflix that evening or that morning you get caught up watching YouTube videos. When you frame it for yourself as a self-response, I call this a self-responsibility mindset, which I'm responsible. It's my responsibility to, and my obligation to prospect. Mm-hmm. Because I know now that I can help a customer. I know that I have something for good for them. So in other words, it's when someone tells me, they go, well, I didn't really get, my numbers aren't there. I'm not prospecting as much as I should. I'm not going out there and making as many touches to clients as I should. I'll ask them, do you offer something that can help the customer? And they always say, what? Yeah. Well, yes. And I'll say, so shame on you. And I go, what do you mean? Shame on you, because you know you can help them and you're not reaching out in a creative way to get in front of them, whether that's giving value first, whether that's doing a video introduction, doing something creative to get in front of them. And you're keeping that from them. And what if, and I've seen this, I've seen businesses go out of business that I know I could have helped, I didn't prospect. And I'm like, oh, jeez, I could have reached out to them with a phone call. I saw they were struggling and I didn't reach out. Shame on you. So when you start framing that for yourself, that's how you break through that fear of, it's not about you. Because fear is when you make it about you.
That's true. Right? You have to believe that your impact is going to be greater than your fear.
Right. But well, the fear is making it about you is you're afraid of the rejection. You're afraid of hearing the no. You're afraid of just the uncomfortableness of having a prospect, which is all a focus on who? Yourself. Focusing on the customer is, I know I can help them. They need this. They deserve this. And I got to be the first to get in front of them because our product, our service, our company can help them the most. So I have to get to them fast. And that's what motivates people.
The fear is the head part.
Head trash.
I'm afraid I'm going to get rejected. I'm afraid people are going to say whatever.
And you run the negative scenarios to your head.
The belief has to come from the heart. If you believe in your heart that you can help somebody, then the fear goes away. If you don't believe it in your heart, then maybe that's the reason that you fear it.
Yeah. But
maybe that's the reason that, you know, you have to know here, this is the right thing for me to do because I know I can help other people, period.
So I don't know if this is obvious or not, but at the end of the day, if you're so fearful and then don't make the sales you need because you're stuck in fear mode, you're going to get the same exact results. like you're creating the results that you were fearful of, you know, because you're not going after those sales. Whereas if you just put yourself out
you're
there.
You're making those false stories come true.
Right. And what's the worst that can happen?
Yeah.
Somebody says no.
Yeah.
Like, oh my gosh, I'm going to fucking die. Somebody said no.
Yeah.
It's not that big of a deal.
But you're not even letting them say no if you're stuck in fear mode.
Right.
So you're getting that zero gain by being stuck there.
Put yourself out there and let people say no to you.
Dale Carnegie wrote a great book called How to Stop Worrying and start Living.
Yeah. Right.
Living to Your Potential.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
The topic for today's show. And in that book, he teaches a principle of just asking yourself, what's the worst that can happen?
Mm-hmm.
And then asking a follow-up question, which is, can you live with that?
Yes.
And when you take yourself through that process, it gives yourself permission to let go and just do it.
Mm-hmm.
The brilliance of Dale Carnegie was asking the double question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the follow-up.
Yeah, what's the worst that can happen? Everybody answers that.
Yeah.
Can you live with it?
Can you live with it? Yeah.
Will you survive that?
Oh, I love this. Ken Wall said, why haven't you guys introduced me to Joe?
Hey, Ken.
Ken.
What's
Roger.
Up? You should go on Ken's show. Ken
Jenny.
Has a great show on Facebook.
And Ken.
Dave, what's up? Dave Ferguson.
Hey, Dave.
Roger.
Jenny. Just congratulated Ken for going through the 75 days of the Andy Frisella program where you have to walk and chew gum and eat right and stop doing stupid shit.
Awesome.
And he did it.
Awesome.
I mean, no, he did it. And every day he took this self video about walking. It's totally cool.
Which holds yourself accountable.
Yeah.
Oh,
imagine if you did that for your sales process. You held every day. You kind of reported to yourself on how you're doing with your sales numbers.
Yes.
And you went live with that.
Yes. And here's the deal. If you're doing this thing called 75 Hard, which is from Andy Frisella with your body stuff, and you mess up, you have to start back at day one.
Oh my gosh.
So imagine being on day 30 and you've done all the things. You've read 10 pages of a book. You've exercised twice a day for 45 minutes each, one time outside.
And you miss.
You've eaten clean. You've done all the thing. And you've drinking 100 ounces of water. So there's five things. You've done all of those for 30 days. And then the 31st day, you mess up. Day one.
I think that's how sales should be.
Yeah. So yeah. Let's go to St. Louis. We're giving a shout out to Andy Frisella right now. We'll come to St. Louis and we'll do 75 sales hard.
I love it.
And we'll create a program around the selling process for salespeople. And Andy can make all the sales and keep at least 5% of the money. half the money.
I love it.
But I think that it's worthwhile because most salespeople take the easiest course. They take the easiest path. They want to, like, I'll address the sales lady in a sec and say, how many of you would like a list of people that want to buy now? And everybody will go, well, I'll take that. Yeah, of course you will, because you're fucking lazy. Yeah. And you won't do the hard work that it takes to make sales easy.
Yeah.
Look at that. He just saw, they're in our group. I saw that. Someone got to day 74.
And had to start over.
Wow. Now that's integrity. Like, admit, because no one would have known except this one person, right? Himself.
Right.
And he said, put it out there, you guys, I messed up. I'm starting over.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
Yeah, that's incredible.
Yeah.
So there you go.
And
I'm only challenging you to think about when somebody told you in your life that you were not living up to your potential. When it got told to me and I was in high school, I'm like, I know who I am. Don't tell me that kind of crap. I just didn't feel like doing it. And I just played baseball.
Jenny says that we look like brother and sister.
We're not.
Yeah, no.
No, we're not related.
But I did spend a little bit of time in New York.
Yeah. He does know how to give people the finger.
In a New York 5 minutes for me, though. I'm from Iowa.
Man.
Right. No, originally from Iowa.
I love that.
Yeah.
So you're doing something where you're helping people live up to their potential.
Me?
Yeah.
The heck yeah.
Well, both of you guys.
Yeah. Listen. My hard body is, there's a little flab. When I do this, there's just a little bit of flab underneath of it. Not a lot, but just a little bit. Just enough to where you pisses you off. But the bottom line is this. Joe and Jen and me spend our days and our nights figuring out how to help other people. That's like our whole job. My philosophy. I give value first. I help other people.
I see it as it's my obligation.
Yeah. And because you have the talent to be able to do it and you've already done it and seen it work. And that deepens your own belief system.
Yeah.
Like there's people on here that I've helped that are on the show today and there'll be hundreds of others that are going to view it tomorrow, whatever.
Thousands.
I've helped them. All right, thousands. And, you know.
And also, in order to do it, you have to see a vision for your future of what that looks like, right? So, in other words, it's easy to say, hey, you need to live up to your potential, but are you even clear about what that might look like for yourself?
I love that. I was just going to go there because Ken said.
Whether that's vision boards or it's goal setting and it's all these things, to me, it's accumulation of all that stuff.
Yeah. Yes.
That paints a picture for you every day that you can, you know, plan your day. You know, that's also it. Like somebody says, well, I'm living up to my potential, and they go, but I'm not planning my day. Then you're not living up to your potential.
Right. Yet.
So maybe adding that step to your day, and now you're one step closer to living up to
your
potential.
It starts with your bathroom mirror.
Yeah.
You wake up in the morning. Oh, I got to pee. And so you walk in the bathroom, you go, oh, shit, that's me. No, you go like, fuck, look, it's me. Oh. Yeah. Where are your goals on your bathroom mirror? No.
Yeah.
I don't understand it. Mine are. Now, they've only been there for 25 years, so it may not be working yet. I'm going to do it another 25 years, and then that's it. I'm going to quit. So do the little things that get you to inspire yourself to take action. If you don't do those self-inspirational things, somebody else will get you down.
So Ken said, I'm not sure I'll ever be at my full potential. And I want you to write down, what is it going to take? What does it look like when you're operating at your full potential? What does that look like from your mindset to your day, to your sales, to your business, to your family? Like all aspects of your life, literally start to write that down. And you can write down like, I'm Jen Gluckow and I'm operating at my full potential. This is what it looks like. Like write it down in present tense so you can make it become more real.
But if you don't believe in yourself,
I like that.
It's gonna sound hollow. First of all, you have to love yourself. Second of all, you have to believe in yourself. And third of all, you have to be able to offer your message without fear of rejection. If you're going to fear rejection, you got a big problem. You just let it go. What's the worst that can happen? And can you live with it?
Yeah.
And you're making it about you.
Right.
So when you think about how many customers you could have helped if you hadn't held yourself back.
Yeah.
And when you get real with that, it changes the game for yourself. It's like, I can't do this any longer because I'm letting too much slide. Not because I'm not making the money for my family, but because I'm also not contributing in a way that I know can bring value to somebody else that would ultimately come back in the form of money to me.
Yes, 100%. That's so meaningful. I love that.
And you earn money. You don't get money.
I love that too.
Yeah.
I'm all about earning the process. And if you genuinely earn it, it's going to... Money will flow to you.
That's right.
You know, I'll share this with you because there was a gentleman I modeled years ago, and the company asked me. They said he does in-home sales. Let's leave it at that. But they said he closes more than anyone else that does in-home sales, and we don't know what he's doing different because they're all following the same sales process. And I said, can I go find out?
Yeah.
And sure enough. Opened it the same way they're all taught. They're all doing everything the same. Here's what he did different at the very end of his sale. At the end of his presentation and his proposal, his pitch, okay, if you will, he asked one question that was different than every other salesperson for the company. Here wants to know what that question is?
Yeah.
Thumbs up in the comments if you want to know what the question is. You're going to love this.
Hell yeah.
Because what you just said, essentially. He looked every customer dead and center in the eye, and there was always a couple he sold to, and he said, based on the information I've shared with you and the information you've shared with me, have I earned your business yet?
Mic drop.
That was his closing sentence.
Cool.
Every single time. Have I earned your business?
That's awesome.
And it's hard for people to tell you, no, you haven't earned it. If you genuinely went through a process of gathering information, diagnosing before prescribing, and then giving them a solution that made sense for them and they agreed along the way.
Yep.
And he said, have I earned your business?
And I guarantee he didn't ask that question until he felt in his
heart
that
he had earned it. And that was his closing line. And it was the only thing different from every other salesperson. He'd be like, what do you think? Is this selling something you're interested in? Or, you know, all the other really dumb closing questions people would ask versus, would you like our help? Would you like for us to implement this for you?
So that was the only different question he asked. But I guarantee because he knew he was getting to that question, his process was different.
Oh, yeah. He led up to that.
Because the entire time
it was more
heartfelt. Thinking about earning their business.
Yeah.
So it was that mindset the whole journey.
Well, and it's the belief that he knew what he was doing was earning the right to be able to get their business at the end.
Yeah,
and so,
exactly.
You know, and it wasn't just the power of the closing question, because lots of questions you can close with, but it is hard to say no to. I watched people that he was selling to that day. It's like, they would be like, you know, because they're answering a different question.
Yeah.
Have you earned it versus, the presupposition is I'm asking if
That's
I've earned it versus
awesome.
Am I buying from you? Mm-hmm. And then he would say, I'm happy you said that. We have all the paperwork right here, and we can get you started. And it was like, oh my gosh.
Boom!
I want to share with you. I taught a bunch of condominium sales, timeshare salespeople.
Okay. Thank goodness somebody has.
In Aruba.
Are you the only one?
No, in Aruba. And it's pretty interesting because the timeshare...
I got in a fight with those people in Aruba.
Yeah.
And we should talk about that.
Oh, gosh.
A whole other thing.
After he's trained them?
Here's the deal. The kid, one of the kids who was the best salesperson, he took the closing questions and converted it. And instead of saying, I need to ask you two questions, he said, Mr. Marriott asked me to ask you two questions. Man, does that bring the weight on the questions or what?
Brilliant.
Yeah, brilliant.
Yeah. And the questions were too simple. Did you really like your time here?
Yeah.
Who doesn't? It's Aruba.
Right, exactly. And
now they're not answering your question, they're answering his.
Every year when you go on vacation, would you spend this money anyway?
Yeah.
And if the answer to both those questions, then this is the right deal for you.
Yeah.
But it was so
It sets it up to be a no-brainer.
Powerful. Yeah.
It was so freaking powerful. Like, I'm not going to ask you these two questions because it sounds like I'm a sales guy.
Yeah.
But Mr. Marriott asking you the question? Yeah. Now that's a whole different. Henry Ford asked me to ask you these questions.
right.
Napoleon Hill wanted me to ask you these two questions.
Yeah.
Dale Carnegie said.
But even if those people didn't ask you, or you don't have somebody of that type of authoritative power, how you could frame it is, two questions that Dale Carnegie always asks people at this stage.
Exactly.
Or two questions that you know, somebody, you know, that Jeffrey Gitomer would ask at this stage of the process is this. Mm-hmm. You know, you frame it as this is a two questions that they would ask. You mind if I ask it? And then it's giving permission, but you're borrowing the authority. So for those of you that are watching this going, I don't work for Mr. Marriott, or I don't work for somebody of that type of authority, find somebody they respect, okay? Right. And if you could find it in conversation early on, like
Warren
if they start talking about Warren Buffett.
Two questions before,
or Steve Jobs. If they say, if you see they're an Apple user, okay, and they're using Apple products, they have an iPhone, they have an iPad, that's going to tip you off that later on you can say, you know, when I was reading this Steve Jobs book, which is
a phenomenal book.
No, it's not.
If you haven't read it,
Jeffrey Gitomer asked me to reach out to you.
Yeah. So you can say, two things, and maybe this is in your follow-up meeting. You say when you're closing, your two things I read that Steve Jobs asked his people in that book was these two questions, and I'd love to ask something similar of you. And now it's like permission. It's a permission bridge.
Yeah.
But what Jeffrey said after that, after the person doing that, really makes it a no-brainer without ever having to say it.
Right.
So always ask yourself, how do I make what it is I'm offering a no-brainer without having to say no-brainer?
Yeah,
here's
I
the
agree.
Deal. Closing comes from perceived value and comfort. If I perceive a value and I'm comfortable with you as a human being, do I like you? Do I believe you? Do I have confidence in you? Do I trust you? Then I'm going to move forward.
Yeah.
I have to perceive the value, and maybe I have to perceive a difference between you and the other guy. But the bottom line is, if I don't like you, I'm not moving forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If I don't believe you, if I don't trust you, I'm not moving forward.
And here's the weighted scale of how important that is in your sales process. If that person has to deal with you beyond this meeting, it's really, really important. So if your services are monthly and you're an account manager as well as the hunter, very important. If you're a retainer in our business, we take on retainer-based agency clients. Well, mm-hmm. guess what? I teach people that if you're selling, you know, retainer-based clients, they're not assessing your monthly fee for that month. They're assessing having to deal with you for the next 12 months.
Exactly. Right, exactly.
So they have to have that cover. So the longer you and the more often you have that FaceTime with a potential customer, the more important that really is. It has so much weight. People have to stop thinking about it. It's not about in that moment that they're assessing. They're picturing having you come into their office 3 months from now and whether or not they even want you to sit with them and have Death Wish coffee.
That's
you
know, right.
That's what they're deciding.
That's right.
I love
so
Death
you guys
coffee.
Are doing something special. You want to talk about that?
No.
You don't want to tell them?
It's a secret.
Okay, never mind. You guys don't get to find out.
Joe and I have decided to have a special time with just a few people.
10.
10 people.
Yeah.
Actually, it's 9 more now.
That's
right?
True.
Yeah.
And probably 7.
Yeah. We just actually put the message out yesterday.
To a small group.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you'd like to spend a weekend... No. If you'd like to spend a couple of days here, it ain't a weekend, it's going to be weekdays, and then have a 4-month mentorship with us live and get to ask questions and whatever you need in your life, direct message.
The page.
The Jeffrey Gitomer page.
Yeah. That's cool. And
Send a direct message and send us your email address.
Yeah, put your email in there.
Right?
Yeah, we won't bug you.
This hasn't been publicly promoted yet.
No.
But 2-day intensive with... Life-changing opportunity, in my opinion.
Yeah,
it's going to be really incredible.
You get to hang out here, and it's a pretty cool place.
Yeah.
If you don't mind me saying, these a lot of people don't know me, and you know, I've had a chance to get to know Jeffrey over the years, but no one changed the course and the trajectory of my career more than Jeffrey Gitomer. So thanks for having me on the show.
Thank you.
We're so glad you're here.
Thanks for that mentorship. I'm getting to know Jen as well, which has been fantastic.
Here's the deal. I helped you because you deserved it. Just understand that. It wasn't like...
When does it go public? Jenny, we might not put it out there to the public because it's a really exclusive event. So if you're interested, just DM the page with your email address and we'll send you the
info. Likely it will be full before we ever go public.
Yeah. All right, Ken, I'll talk to you later. That sounds good. So, you guys, we
Our
have to
Our people will call
go.
Your people. It's Motivation Monday, but it's over.
I want you to
it's
have over. A super successful week. Until next time, I'm Jen Gluckow.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you for being here.
Make it a great week,
Soto,
everyone.
And I'm challenging you to get out there and live up to your potential and make a sale, even if your ass falls off.
Oh, yeah.
Or not. This has been a presentation of the Sell or Die Network. For more podcasts that you can take out into the street and turn into money, visit sellordienetwork.com.